Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, visiting with us on the program, we have Dr. Corey Rosen, a PhD, and the founder and senior staff member of the National Center for Employee Ownership, or NCEO, a nonprofit organization that's the nation's primary source of information on employee ownership. One of the world's leading experts on the subject, he's worked with government leaders, business owners, employee groups, and academic leaders worldwide, and serves on seven ESOP company boards. He's the co-author of Equity, Why Employee Ownership is Good for Business, and the new book, Ownership, Reinventing Companies, Capitalism, and Who Owns What. And Dr. Rosen, we really appreciate your joining us here today.
Thanks, Eric. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, you're certainly more than welcome and looking forward to hearing from you today. So tell us, for starters, how does employee ownership work and what needs to be done to expand it?
Well, there are a variety of ways that employees can become owners. Some people are familiar with employees getting stock options or grants of stock, and that's certainly a fairly common thing to do. And it's usually used just for executives, but some companies like Starbucks and Google give these sorts of awards to everybody. And then there's programs where employees can purchase stock, usually in publicly traded companies and often at a discount. That can be very attractive. But by far the most common form of broad-based employee ownership in the U.S. is something called the Employee Stock Ownership Plan. And what you need to know about this kind of arrangement is that it's a way for the company to purchase shares out of future tax-deductible profits to provide as a benefit for employees. So employees are not and never do purchase the shares. Instead, the company purchases the shares for them. And companies do this for a variety of reasons. Some companies just feel like if we can share ownership with employees, we'll be a better company, and the research supports that. The most common use, though, is in closely held companies where you've got an owner of the company, and the owner, or maybe owners, is thinking, you know, it's time to start taking some money off the table, maybe even selling the whole company. And I could sell to private equity, maybe, or I could sell to one of my competitors. But, you know, I'm just not that comfortable with what might happen to the legacy of the company I've built up over all these years. I know sometimes people get laid off, or the company gets moved, or the mission gets changed. It would be great if the employees could become owners, but of course, it's hard for them to buy the stock. Well, what an employee stock ownership plan does, an ESOP, is it provides a way for the company, using the profits that the employees will help generate over time in the future, on a tax-deductible basis, to purchase the shares from the owner. And Congress has been really generous with these plans. So the owner can defer capital gains tax by selling to an ESOP. If the company becomes 100% ESOP, it doesn't pay any taxes, and a variety of other tax benefits as well. So it's a fairly flexible way for these companies to do business transition. And from the employee standpoint, they get these shares in a trust. The trust holds on to those shares until the employees leave. Then the employees cash those shares in. And the rules are that pretty much everybody who works for the company is in the plan and gets a fair allocation of the shares that are in it.
Certainly some fantastic information to get things underway here today. Now, tell me, what's wrong with the system we have now, and which allows the rich to grow richer while everyone else struggles to make ends meet? Get into that a little bit from your perspective.
Well, you know, think about this, Eric. Three families in the U.S. have more wealth than 40% of the entire population. Three families. 1% of the population owns more than 90% of the productive assets in this company, in this country. And these numbers are getting increasingly concentrated. Well, maybe that wouldn't be so bad if on the other side of that, you didn't have the fact that 50% of the population can't lay their hands on $1,000 in an emergency, and 50% of the workforce who work for non-government employers, so the private sector workforce, 50% of them are in no retirement plan at all. Since the 1970s, real wages have stagnated. In fact, they've declined a little bit in the last few years, as people are all too well aware of when you go to the store or the gas station. But real wealth has increased and concentrated more and more. So since the 70s, real median wages, as I say, have declined a little bit, but returns to capital have grown over 8% per year. So the rich get richer and wealth concentrates while everybody else is running farther and farther behind, finding it increasingly difficult to pay for health insurance, to send their kids to college, to come up with the money for a mortgage, and maybe most important, to have a secure retirement, or for many people, any kind of retirement assets. So the system's broken. Ownership is a great thing. Capitalism is a great thing. But not enough people are owners, and not enough people are benefiting from capitalism. Now, some people's solution is, well, let's redistribute this wealth through taxes, for instance. Whatever you think of the pros and cons of that politically, it's really difficult to do that. On the other hand, Republicans and Democrats both like employee ownership. All these laws that Congress has passed to encourage employee ownership, and now there are state laws too, have passed without dissent. There was a recent law passed that was sponsored by Tommy Tuberville, the former Alabama football coach and Republican, very conservative senator from Alabama, and Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts. It has been supported by everybody from Ronald Reagan to Ted Kennedy to Bernie Sanders to Ron Johnson. So it's one of these programs that is politically practical. At the same time, and the research really demonstrates that employee ownership works. ESOP companies grow faster, lay people off at one-third to one-fifth the rate of other companies. Employees in these companies have a mean, an average of $134,000 in their ESOP account, plus they typically have 401k plans, and that comes to about three times what typical employees have in those companies where there are retirement plans. So it's a remarkable track record. The companies do better, the employees do better, and the communities do better. And politically, it's really popular. It just is one of those ideas that everybody likes, but nobody talks about very much as a really important reform for the economic system.
A lot of great insight shared already. We really do appreciate your joining us here today. We're speaking with Dr. Corey Rosen, a PhD and the founder and senior staff member of the National Center for Employee Ownership, a nonprofit organization that's the nation's primary source of information on employee ownership. He's the co-author of Equity, Why Employee Ownership is Good for Business, and the new book, Ownership, Reinventing Companies, Capitalism, and Who Owns What, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, moving ahead here, what are the three reasons why employee-owned operations significantly outperform their conventionally owned counterparts?
There's fortunately a lot of research on this, and so we know what they are. And in fact, there are three things that really matter. Number one is that you're providing employees with more than token ownership, so ownership that's financially meaningful to them. And almost all ESOPs do, as you know, you've seen from the data that we just discussed, the employees are accumulating significant ownership. The second thing is the company has to take the time to really explain how this works to people, because it can be a little complicated sounding. It's something people can definitely understand, but companies need to take the time to explain it, and they need to continue to communicate over time, both about the employee ownership plan, but also about how's the company doing. These people are owners now. People need to understand that ESOPs don't involve employees. running the company. It's not like some sort of economic democracy, unless the company wants it to be. But the best companies try to treat people like owners. They share a lot of information with them about how the company is doing, a lot of metrics about their particular work and how their teams are doing. And then the most important thing is, as I wrote in a different book, the first line of the book is, it's simple. The best companies are the ones that generate the most ideas from the most people about the most things. So take a company like Hypertherm in New Hampshire that now has about 1,800 employees, and they're 100% employee-owned, have been for decades. They generate 2 to 3 usable ideas from every employee every year. Now imagine in your company, if you had 2 or 3 good, practical, business-improving ideas from every single employee every year, how much better your company would be. And employee ownership companies are very good at creating the kinds of systems that facilitate that kind of idea sharing and giving employees a lot of authority to carry out these ideas. By contrast, companies that aren't employees tend to be very close-lipped about how they're doing with people. And they are typically very top-down companies where management thinks, well, we have the best ideas and employees should just carry them out. That does not make a great company. And it certainly doesn't make a company that's much fun to work for.
I'd certainly say so. I would say so. Really do appreciate the feedback on that. Now, here's a loaded question. What are some case studies that will wow employees and business leaders alike, from employee-owned public supermarkets to Procter & Gamble's 130-year-old employee stock ownership plan, and make CEOs, politicians, employees, and activists take notice?
So there are a lot of great employee ownership company stories, and Publix is certainly one of them. They've been employee owned since the 1930s, and they now have about 225,000 employees and are consistently rated as the top or one of the top supermarket chains in the country in terms of customer experience. There's another chain of employee owned supermarkets, Winco, which is growing very quickly in the western part of the country, now about 25,000 employees, also 100% employee owned. Great story about Winco. They had an employee who was a twin of another employee, and her sister and her both applied to Winco, but they had at that time a policy where they wouldn't hire more than one family member. They've changed that since then. So one sister went to work for Winco as a cashier, and one sister went to work for a dental office and a variety of other jobs and had 401k plans. After about 20 years at Winco, the sister who worked there had over $1 million in stock, and the sister who went to work for other employers, good employers, had about $35,000 in her 401k plan. Another great example is a company called SRC Holdings, and they were bought by their employees in 1983, that 119 employees. And the CEO of the company then, and still all these years later, still the CEO, Jack Stack, he said, well, if employees are going to be owners, we need to teach them business. We need to teach them how to read a financial statement and a balance sheet, and we need to teach them how to understand the metrics about the performance of the job they are doing, typically in that company, rebuilding heavy-duty engines. So they did all that, and the employees became really sophisticated, and they created this process of high-involvement strategic planning and employees meeting in groups once a week, every week, to go over ideas and numbers. And SRC today has 1,800 employees. Its stock price went from 10 cents to $680. Now, to be sure, they're an exceptional story, but there are a lot of companies that aren't that different from SRC that have had that kind of success in growing year after year and really benefiting employees. And to be sure, there have been employee-owned companies that have failed, like United Airlines had a an ESOP where they kind of did one of everything wrong, and it didn't work out well at all for them. But if you look at the overall numbers, the rate of bankruptcy in ESOP companies is dramatically lower than conventional companies, and their performance dramatically better.
Well, I certainly have enjoyed your visit with us here today. A lot of insight and information shared. I can't thank you enough for what you do and, again, for your time today. Of course, we've mentioned you are the co-author of Equity and also the author of Ownership. Where can listeners pick up these books and also get more information on National Center for Employee Ownership?
Well, it's easy. You can get more information about the National Center for Employee Ownership by going to our website. So just type National Center for Employee Ownership into your browser or nceo.org. There's lots of great free information there about how employee ownership works, and there's memberships and publications to purchase on all sorts of aspects of this if you want to delve deeper. And the book, Ownership Reinventing Companies, Capitalism, and Who Owns What, which Robert Reich, for instance, called required reading. If you want to get that, you can get it on our site. You can also get it on Amazon from your local bookstore, pretty much any place that you can buy books. And it's in print, it's in Kindle, it's in audio. So however you like to enjoy your books, you can do that.
It certainly sounds easy enough and a lot of options to take in this information. Again, folks, it is nceo.org. Dr. Rosen, all the best. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric. I really appreciate the opportunity.
And you're certainly more than welcome anytime. We've been speaking with Dr. Corey Rosen, a PhD and the founder and senior staff member of the National Center for Employee Ownership, a nonprofit organization that's the nation's primary source of information on employee ownership. He's the co-author of Equity, Why Employee Ownership is Good for Business, and the new book, Ownership, Reinventing Companies, Capitalism, and Who Owns What. And once again, for all the details, visit nceo.org. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.